I'll read again the section I want to look at in Romans 8, verse 26. Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." So, particularly going to home in verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for a good. For those who are called according to his purpose. One of the Puritan writers wrote a book about this verse, and he called it a divine cordial. Don't know many people drink cordials these days, but cordials were kind of pick-me-ups. And this is a divine pick-me-up. This is a verse that is designed for you when you are in good places and bad places, to encourage you, to pick you up. God's working everything for good, whatever is happening in our lives. And he's doing that for those who are called according to his purpose and for those who love him. We know for those who love God, all things work together for good. So, I want to think a little bit to start with about anger. Because things that are working together in your life sometimes make you angry. Some of us are more prone than others to get angry. I used to think when I was a young Christian I never got angry. And then I just discovered what a repressed person I was. And that actually I was full of anger. Absolutely full of it. And God has had to work in me and continues to do so over that. For others, anger is close to the surface and boils up very readily in a loss of temper and in sharp words. Or it simmers in others. And circumstances can make us angry. And people and the things they do, especially as they affect our lives, can make us angry. And perhaps you've been angry in the last week, and now you cast your mind back to when you were, and you think, what was it? Maybe now it seems to you like a triviality, but at the time it didn't. Or maybe now you're even more angry about it than you were then. Anger is something that is a powerful driving force in our hearts. It can be turned for good, but often its root is not a good thing. As Christians, we tend to think of anger as a bad thing, but then we know the Lord was angry on a number of occasions recorded in the Gospels, and we're not told in the Bible that anger is necessarily wrong. Paul does tell us to be angry but don't sin. So, you know, be angry about the right things, about things like injustice, about those who threaten goodness and righteousness and truth. Be angry about these things, but don't let your sun go down. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, try and either resolve it, do something with it that's constructive. Don't destroy things through your anger. But anger is a reality. And often when we get angry as Christians, especially if we just know we shouldn't be, it's not a good thing, and we feel really kind of disturbed by it and upset by it, we come to God in prayer and we pray, God, please just take away my anger. And often that's as far as we go when we pray about anger. We think that anger is something that we just need to ask God to take away. Please take it away. Please, Lord, help me not to be angry. And of course, if your head's full of it, it's very hard to even pray, and it's very hard to get past the way that you feel and to get into a calmer frame of mind. And often we pray for our anger to go away, and, you know, really, it doesn't just happen as simply as that. And perhaps it's helpful for us to ask deeper questions. Questions like, why am I angry? Now, a lot of anger comes out of frustration. I guess most anger comes as a result of frustration. That is that you had an idea about how things should go, and they didn't go your way because someone or something got in the way of your plans. And you might be just mildly perturbed, or you might be raging, like we studied Jonah a few months ago in Kyle, and God challenges Jonah, have you any right to be angry? He said, I am angry enough to die, he says. That's how angry Jonah was over the frustration he felt. A, that the Ninevites hadn't been struck down by fire from heaven, and B, that this lovely shade that God had given him with this plant that had grown up had withered and died. So sometimes we may even blame God for the things that make us angry. You know, he's done something to frustrate us, or other people have done something, and it's their fault. It didn't go as I planned. Well, then, if we feel that kind of frustration, we need to ask deeper questions still. It's not enough to say I'm angry because I'm frustrated. We're frustrated because we had decided what should happen. We had a will in the matter. We had a purpose. Might be a big purpose, might be some grand life calling that you sense you have or that you're trying to pursue, or it might just be a simple thing like you're trying to get to the shops. But whatever, you felt that that was what you must do. And you wanted everything in the entire universe to cooperate with your plan and your purpose. You didn't want there to be roadworks and a traffic light on the way to the co-op, or you didn't want for the road to be blocked by an accident. And, you know, have we ever found ourselves raging because we can't get through because there's been an accident, and then we suddenly take a fall to ourselves and think, here am I getting angry because I can't get to Inverness to do the shopping, and there's someone probably been killed in the accident, and we suddenly realise how out of touch with reality our anger can bring us to be, because we're so determined about our purposes. Very strong-minded sometimes about the way we want things to be, our vision for our day, for our lives, for the next hour, for how long this should take, and for how this should go. And it doesn't happen that way. We've decided it should, but it doesn't. And so we get frustrated and we get angry. Well, perhaps we need to think a bit deeper. Not just to say, well, I'm angry because I got frustrated because I didn't get things to turn out my way. Maybe you should be asking why you think your way is the best way. Because it may be that often the reason why you don't get to do your will is because someone else's will gets in your way. They also have a will. Someone else has decided to interrupt your day. So you're just going out the door to do what you've decided you're going to do, and someone pulls up at your drive, and it's the minister calling. Oh, I was just going out to, you know, had all my plans for the afternoon sorted out. I mean, these days I have to say I tend to phone most people before I turn up because of the way the world is, because everyone is rushing around, as Daniel said we would. Men are rushing to and fro as knowledge increases, and everyone has their purpose, and everyone thinks that what they want to do on that afternoon or on that day or with their lives or whatever is the right way, because they think it is the right way. At the same time, there are other people who also think that their way is the right way, and why should their way not be better than our way? Now, why should it not be better that the person who's pulled up in your drive might actually need your help, and it might be the right thing for you to stop your plans and get in with their plans? And on top of that, God's will is at work, because God is working, and especially in his people. In verse 29 it says, to conform us to the image of his Son. God wants you to be like Jesus in your character. And that is his purpose in the life of his people. So we might be very angry because we didn't get things turning out our way and we got frustrated, and God was the one whose will got in the way because he was doing something else in our lives. He was actually putting roadblocks ahead of our plans so that instead we would have to fall in with his plans. And instead of us gladly falling in with his plans, we got frustrated and angry and probably ended up worse than we would have been if we'd listened to the fact that God is working in our lives all the time, and that others as well have their plans that maybe we need to respect and maybe better than ours. So then we've come to the point now that we've got angry because we thought our way of doing things was the best. But let's dig a bit deeper still. Maybe we think our way is the best, and maybe it's an illusion. Maybe that's a great delusion about our thinking, that we think that whatever we think we should be doing must be right because we thought it. And that conceit that we have, because that's what it is, the conceit that we have about us being able to make the best decisions about our lives. And you know, Paul tells us that in the matter of prayer, for example, verse 26, you know, we all jump in prayer and tell God how to do things. You probably told God how to run the universe already today in your prayers. But Paul tells us you can't do that because you have no idea what the right thing to pray is. Listen to what it says. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. You know, maybe think about that before you start praying later on tonight. I don't know. You know, you might think, well, there's someone in hospital, I'm going to pray for them to get better. But you do not know what to pray for as you ought. That's what Paul says. There's something that's on this week and you're anxious about it and you're wanting to try and get peace about it and settle in your mind, and you pray about it in a certain way because you think that the way that you want it to turn out is the best way. But Paul says you don't know the best way because you just don't see the big picture that God sees. So how can you know the best way? Only the Holy Spirit knows the best way, and that he helps us. Well, we are praying for things to turn out one way. The Holy Spirit, Paul says, is working in us. He's also speaking to the Father. Interceding is the word, that is. Passing words between him and the Father, in which the Holy Spirit is saying to the Father, this is what needs to happen here. I know that he's praying that or she's praying that, and I know it's what they think's the best, but actually they don't really understand the situation at all. Here is what should be happening. So we need to not be deluded about our thinking and about how great our thinking is. Jeremiah has a verse in his prophecy that should alert us to this, where he says, the heart is deceitful above everything else, and desperately wicked. I mean, put it like this, we hear a lot this at this time, Black Friday, beware of scammers. Do you know what? The person who is most likely to deceive you is you. Not the person that's on the phone saying, you know, I'm from Microsoft, your computer's sending reports that it's not working properly. The person who's going to deceive you most likely is you. You don't believe that, perhaps. And that's why it's so easy for you to be deceived. As long as you don't believe that you really, really can't trust the desires of your own heart, that's when you're most likely to be deceived. And so when we have a society that says, follow your heart, we've got a society which is absolutely ripe for deception. So maybe we need to think about this as well when we're angry. But why do we have delusions about our thinking? Well, perhaps one thing that's behind that is that, and why we're putting so much weight on our thinking is, we're not thinking about God's will. We're not thinking about the fact that actually, the way things have turned out may actually be His purpose and His will. And it may be a much better purpose. Well, it will be, because it's His purpose in our lives. This frustration, this thing that isn't going the way we want it to, is God's purpose. And we need to regard the will of God. And probably we don't do that because we don't spend time regarding it as much as we spend time regarding our own will. We haven't got a vision of God. So when it says here in verse 28, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Obviously it's God who's doing the working. And if we really take that seriously, it completely deflates our conceit about ourselves and our illusions about our own will and purpose, about how we want the service to go tonight, about when we want the service to end tonight, about, you know, what we want to do when we go out the door tonight, who we want to speak to tonight, and, you know, how quickly we want to get away and what we're going to do when we get home, and how we want the people to be around us when we get home, and so on. And instead of us thinking about our will, what about thinking about this verse and the vision it presents before you of everything in your entire experience working for good to make you like Jesus? Everything in your entire daily experience, God works all things for good for those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. Like everything, every little detail, you know, even at this moment, just as you're conscious in this moment of whatever you're conscious of. It may be the beating of your heart. It may be the person next to you. Maybe a line of thought that you're going down just now, hopefully as a result of what God's speaking to us out of His word. Maybe a wandering thought. It may be a pain in your body. Maybe a smell. Maybe a sound. But whatever it is, all of these little tiny things are working together for good. All things, every second, everything around you is an expression, Christian, of the love of God. Everything. That's what it says. you know, the things that are going your way and the things that are not going your way. And your puny little mind cannot take in, nor can my punier little mind take in, the slightest fraction of all that there is around us. But God is in every single detail. Everything. Everything that is around us, an inner experience at this moment. God is in it, and his will is behind it, and his will is to make us like Jesus, and his will is good. And we, with our tiny little wills, thinking, no, I need to get this done, I need to make this happen, I need to go there, and this is what I want to do. We are just not seeing that big and glorious picture. And so when something doesn't go right, and you go out and you turn the ignition and the car doesn't start, this is the will of God for me in his love. I'm serious about that. I know often we go out and turn the car and think, oh, this is a disaster. The car doesn't start. An absolute disaster. For some of you, it's a minor inconvenience. For others of you, it's a major issue, depending how much kind of help you've got around you and how much you depend on your car. So, but then, of course, is the time that we keep turning it, and we feel the blood pressure raising, we feel the frustration mounting, we feel the anger coming. I need to get here. I need to do this. And the car's not starting. This is God's will and love for you, Christian. Everything like that. The things that are not going well in your life, the things that you've got plans for and you're trying to make it happen and it's not happening, or it may happen but it's not happening your way, or maybe it won't happen at all and you're so upset about it and so frustrated. And maybe it's things that really you feel threatened by, like, you know, health issues, for example, that we all feel threatened by. Maybe money issues or whatever. And this is God's will for you. God's will and love. This is what the verse is telling us. And so we need to get past just thinking about our anger. Because if we only think about our anger, it's not going to do us any good whatsoever. Because it's going to just take us further from God. But if we go, anger means frustration. Frustration means I want to get my will done. I want to get my will done means I'm putting a great deal of confidence in the fact that, or in my idea that my will is the right will, means it's my will I'm thinking about and maybe not another's will, someone else's will that may be in more need, or God's will, who's trying to work out his purpose in my life to make me like Jesus. And maybe I'm not thinking about that because I have far too much confidence in my will. And I'm totally deluded by that. And maybe actually then I need to realise that it's God's will that is the great will. And it's not me that creates a universe full of loving happenings and providences and coincidences and events designed and destined to make me like Jesus so that I can live in the glory of his presence forever. It's not me that can do that. Only God can do that. So maybe I need a bigger vision of God and a smaller vision of myself. And maybe we need to spend time getting that vision refreshed and enlarged. Because even if you've had it, I had this vision very powerfully before me a year and a half ago. And recently I've been reminded I've almost lost it. Doesn't take long for us to lose sight of the great things that God shows us, and we need to come back to them again. We need to continuously feed our vision of God and also gain better self-understanding so that we don't think too much of our deceitful desires and purposes and hearts, because if we do think too much of them, we will set ourselves determinedly on our own purposes, clash with the purposes of others, and especially with the purpose of God, we'll get frustrated, we'll get angry, and it won't turn out well. But if we spend time with God, feeding our vision of Him, then He will speak into our hearts and He will help us to see a different way of looking at the world and our experience in it. We are, as Christians, called to love God, and it should be something that we should do, not as a duty, because God is beyond lovable. It's just our hearts get in the way of loving Him. But we should love God. And we should love, therefore, to spend time before Him like Jesus did. And Jesus saw God most clearly. What did He do? He loved God most dearly. We should seek to spend time with God, our Father, because we love Him and because we want to see more of Him and have our vision of Him enlarged and come into the place where the universe, instead of becoming a place where our will is clashing with others' wills and God's will, a place where we are seeing the will of God at work and where we are delightedly submitting to that, because we know that He is lovingly at work in our lives to make us like Jesus. So we began with anger. Maybe if you get a chance to think about that this week, because you're angry, you know, just go back a few steps and ask yourself why. Because I know that if you just pray, "Lord, make me less angry, please," probably won't work. Maybe God will just step in and make it happen, but a lot of the time praying just, "God, make me less angry," it doesn't take us anywhere, because there's roots, there's reasons why we're angry. We've got too much of a vision of ourselves, too much confidence in our will, and very little confidence in the will of God, which is all around us, all the time, working, often standing in our way, often standing right in front of our purpose and saying no. Often tripping us up. Often tempting us then to be frustrated. The temptation's in us, of course, to get frustrated with God and His purpose. But actually, He wants us to get away from that and be back in that place where the world is His. And where everything that happens is, in the experience of a Christian, an experience of His loving purpose to make us like Jesus Christ. We need to get that vision in order that instead of anger, we may respond in submission and in delight to the ways in which He works, in ways that are different to what we would choose, but better. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that You will help us to understand these things deeply, write them in our hearts, and help us, Lord, not only to think about them now, but help us to think about this regularly in our experience. Help us to have a great vision of You and Your will and Your love and Your purpose. And help us, Lord, to know that we cannot trust our own hearts. Please, Father, help us not to be angry because we've thought too much of ourselves and too little of You, and we've not believed that You're working everything for good. Help us, Lord, to get to a place of contentment and of trust and of peace. And of not pushing, striving, but of rest and patience in Your presence. Amen.